Hello, everyone. Good morning, church. Very warm welcome to Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. Today is Palm Sunday, the day we Christians believe Jesus Christ entered Jerusalem for the last time before his crucifixion. On behalf of our congregation and parish, I would like to welcome all those who are worshiping with us this morning for the first time or doing so after a long while. I will also begin by welcoming myself. I've been away for 2 weeks, and it's good to be back. After the service, please, you are welcome to join us at our church hall for teas and coffees. Our call to worship this morning is from Psalm 24, the verses 7 to 10. Lift up your heads, O you gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. Let us worship God and affirm him all glory, Lord, and honor. Let us pray. Gracious and almighty God, as we gather in your presence this Palm Sunday, our hearts are full of anticipation and reverence. We approach your throne with awe, mindful of the journey Jesus embarked upon as he entered Jerusalem. Teach us, O Lord, to approach you with the same humility and openness that Christ demonstrated on that day, ready to receive your grace and wisdom. Help us to lay down our metaphorical palm branches at your feet, honoring you not just as our King, but as the epitome of humility and sacrificial love. May our worship today reflect our deep gratitude for the path you choose, leading to our salvation. Merciful Father, we confess that too often we seek to assert our own strength and independence, forgetting the power found in humility and submission to your will. We admit resisting your gentle call, allowing fear, doubt, material desires, and our past mistakes to build walls between us and your love. Forgive us, Lord, for the times we have failed to embody the humility and servant leadership that Jesus modeled for us. Cleanse our hearts and minds, that we may be renewed in the Spirit, ready to walk the path of humility and service. Grant us the courage to lay our burdens and sins at the foot of the cross, receiving your grace with open hearts. Help us to remember that in admitting our weaknesses, we find your strength, and in surrendering our lives, we gain your everlasting kingdom. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next theme, 442, blessing and honor, glory and power. Children, good morning, children. Good morning, children. How are you today? It's a beautiful spring morning. Look at the sunshine outside. Isn't it a beautiful day? It is indeed. And today is a special day. It's a special day today. Can anyone tell us what is special about today? Yes, Michaela. Palm Sunday. Yes, Anna, Palm Sunday. Correct. Palm Sunday. What is it about Palm Sunday? Yes. It's the day Jesus went into Jerusalem, yes? Everyone was waving palm fronds when Jesus was entering Jerusalem. So how is that? Why is it a very important day for all of us? Do you know why Palm Sunday is important? Anyone? No, you can't remember. So on Palm Sunday, of course, I'm not holding a palm branch. Is this a palm branch? I just cut it from one of the trees outside. But I will say this is a palm branch. In the absence of the real thing, we can manage this one. So today is the beginning of Holy Week, what Christians call Holy Week. And for the next few days, we'll be thinking about Jesus Christ's walk to the cross. On Palm Sunday, he went into Jerusalem for the last time before his crucifixion. And how did he go into Jerusalem? What did he use for transport? Yes. A donkey. He used a donkey. How many of you have seen a donkey before? Have you seen a donkey? Okay. He used a donkey. And this had been foretold by the prophet Zechariah that he would go into Jerusalem using a donkey. And a donkey is not the kind of animal that has so much significance or importance. But he used a donkey to go into Jerusalem. Many people knew that Jesus was going to come. But they believed that Jesus was going to come to help them fight and conquer their enemies. But Jesus came in humility. And he came to conquer not people's physical enemies, but to conquer our hearts so that we will be his children forever. And so I want us to think of Jesus going into Jerusalem not as a physical space, but Jesus coming into our hearts. And the question is whether our hearts are open enough to receive Jesus Christ. Sometimes we don't want him. The things he tells us to do, we don't want to do them. But what we need to know is that Jesus comes humbly, knocking at the door of our hearts. If we open them, he will come in and be with us, and we will live with him. So on this day, when we sing our hosannas, because that's the song, people were waving their branches and saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Let us think of Jesus finding space in our hearts, and let us be willing to do what he calls us to do. Let us pray. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, this Palm Sunday. And we thank you for those who were able to participate in the procession with members of other churches in our community. We thank you most especially for the significance of Palm Sunday when our Lord Jesus Christ entered Jerusalem for the last time before his crucifixion. As we think of those events in our own time, we pray that we will open our hearts to receive Jesus anew. We thank you for our children, as young as they are. Open their hearts to your word, and may they be willing, O Father, to grow in their faith as they continue to learn from you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our next theme is, Glory be to God the Father.
The first reading today is from Genesis 22, verses 1 to 14. This can be found on page 22 in the Pew Bibles and on the overhead. Abraham tested. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son, Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham!" "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket, he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." Second reading is from Mark 11, verses 1 to 10. Page 1016 in the Bible. Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at the doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Thanks be to God for these readings from his holy word. The next hymn is 365, "Ride On, Ride On in Majesty."
Thank you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we reflect from your word, illuminate our hearts and minds. Grant us the wisdom to understand the truths hidden within the story of your son's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. May this reflection draw us closer to you, shaping our lives to mirror the humility and love demonstrated by Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, let us reflect this morning on the theme, Strength in Humility, the Paradox of Christ's Kingship. Strength in Humility, the Paradox of Christ's Kingship. It was springtime in Palestine, and the fields outside the city would have been carpeted with anemones and poppies, which in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said were not excelled even by Solomon in all his glory. It was not only springtime, but it was also Passover. And huge crowds had come over to Jerusalem for the festival. It is estimated that the population of Jerusalem had jumped from 40,000 to about 250,000 people. Jesus Christ himself had arrived for the Passover feast. He had arrived, as we may say, in state or great ceremony and visibility, because you know the story of the triumphal entry. He rode into the capital city on a donkey in deliberate fulfillment of a prophecy of Zechariah that a king of Israel would ride into his capital city on an ass or donkey, the foal of an ass. And the crowd had given him a tumultuous welcome, spreading palm branches on the road and acclaiming him, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." I want to suggest to you, friends, that the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem was a vision of weakness, power through weakness. Now, the incident of the donkey is very familiar, and it bears all the signs of having been prearranged and even stage managed by Jesus. "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it,' and will send it back here immediately." So the donkey seems to have been secured by a statement of an agreed password. They brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they cut in the fields. It was a young donkey, and Jesus sat on it. As it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, your king is coming, sitting on the colt of a donkey." A quotation from Zechariah chapter 9. The triumphal entry into Jerusalem that we are celebrating on Palm Sunday was a deliberate, self-conscious fulfillment of the prophecy of Zechariah chapter 9. In John 12:16, which relates the same story, we are told that the disciples did not understand what was happening at this time, but Jesus understood. He was doing it deliberately, and the apostles came to understand it later. So what Jesus was doing was not only claiming to be the king and the Messiah, but he was also clearly declaring that kind of Messiah, or what kind of Messiah he had come to be. Jesus Christ had been teaching the 12 privately, about the nature of his messiahship, but now he dramatized it publicly, revealing to the world that he had not come like a zealot. I imagine you know that the Zealots were a revolutionary political party founded in AD 6 by Judas the Galilean, nothing to do with Judas Iscariot. And although the particular rebellion of AD 6 had been brutally crushed by the Romans, Palestine had remained a hotbed of revolutionary expectation. Pilate and his troops marched into Jerusalem every Passover to display their military muscle. The show of force reminded the Jewish pilgrims that it was foolish to get any wild ideas about insurrection. But Jesus Christ was not one more zealot. He had come in peace and humility. Dear Christian friends, what comes to your mind when you think of a conquering king? Does it conjure images of General MacArthur's resolute promise, "I shall return," echoing through the Pacific? Or perhaps you are reminded of John Paul Jones's defiant proclamation to the British, "I have not yet begun to fight," symbolizing unwavering resolve in the face of overwhelming odds. You might visualize the dramatic scene of Allied tanks advancing into Berlin, forcefully removing the swastika, a stark emblem of Nazi oppression, from its perch in a vivid demonstration of victory and liberation. In contemporary times, we can't ignore the sobering reality of President Putin deploying forces into Ukraine, challenging the very notion of sovereignty and igniting global tensions. These instances, both historical and modern, serve as potent reminders of the myriad ways power manifests and is contested on the world stage, shaping the course of nations and the lives of individuals. Whatever we think, it often has the feeling of strength. It seems there is always a show of force accompanying a conquering hero. But that is not the way of Jesus Christ. He came in weakness and would never adopt the way of the zealots. Here was God in human flesh, the God-man Jesus, who has sovereign power, entering Jerusalem on a donkey. He who created the world could have come in power and with threats, but he came instead as a servant in love and humility. He would never use force to conquer the world. You remember, don't you, that before the beginning of his public ministry in the wilderness of Judea, Jesus Christ publicly and deliberately renounced the option of force, the zealot option. He would not conquer the world by force. He was going to conquer the world through the cross and not by might or power. In John 6:15, after the feeding of the 5,000, when the crowd came and tried to take Jesus and make him their king by force, a kind of zealot king that would drive the legions of Rome into the Mediterranean, but Jesus wouldn't allow them to make him a king like that. He had not come into the world to become that kind of king at all. So what kind of king had he come to be? Well, his answer, as he dramatized it on Palm Sunday, was the King of Kings, who had been foretold in Zechariah chapter 9, who would ride into Jerusalem triumphant indeed and victorious, but not in swashbuckling bravado on a prancing war charger, but meek and lowly, riding of all creatures upon a donkey, and the called of an ass. In other words, he would come into the capital city weaponless, except for the love in his heart for fallen humanity, proclaiming peace to the nations and claiming a universal dominion from sea to sea and from river to the ends of the earth. What an extraordinary anomaly that is. Historically, donkeys were indeed ridden by figures of importance in ancient Palestine, but they hardly matched the grandeur associated with a king. The imagery of Solomon's stables filled with majestic horses underscores this contrast. But whoever heard of a king claiming a worldwide empire and issuing his claim from the back of a donkey? It was Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, riding on a donkey in that vision of weakness and power through weakness. And this juxtaposition of humility and authority presents a powerful paradox illustrating strength through vulnerability. For us in the West, ever since A.A. Milne created Eeyore as a gloomy, depressed, old gray stuffed donkey who is a friend of the title character Winnie the Pooh, we have regarded a donkey as being faintly ridiculous. Could God incarnate in Jesus of Nazareth ride on a donkey? It is a vision of weakness. And I want to say to you, friends, that metaphorically speaking, Jesus still rides on the back of a donkey when he rides into human hearts today. Jesus Christ will never use a battering ram to break down our resistance. He will never come to us on a prancing war charger and intimidate us into acceptance of him as our Lord. On the contrary, he comes not galloping to his throne over the dead bodies of his enemies, but humbly in amazing weakness on the back of a donkey. That is how he comes, inviting us to him, meek and lowly on the colt of an ass, but we continue to resist our Lord. The metaphor of Jesus entering Jerusalem triumphantly yet humbly, as recounted in the events of Palm Sunday, can serve as a powerful symbol for us to reflect on how we might be resisting the entrance of Jesus into our lives. So I ask you, what is it you are resisting about God and his Christ as he seeks entrance into your heart? Are we held back by pride, fearing to admit our need for guidance? Does the prospect of change unsettle us, or do we cling to material possessions and worldly achievements, reluctant to embrace a simpler, more spiritually focused life? Perhaps doubts and skepticism or feelings of guilt and unworthiness create barriers to accepting his love. For others, the fear of judgment or the difficulty of forgiving may hinder our journey towards Christ. Addressing these barriers requires introspection, prayer, and the support of a community that engages or encourages growth and transformation. It is a reminder that Jesus' kingdom is not one of coercion, but of invitation. His gentle approach, symbolized by his entry into Jerusalem on a donkey, invites us to lower our defenses and open our hearts to his transformative love. And so I ask again, or I say again, Jesus will never use a battering ram to break down our resistance. But don't misunderstand this. One day, Jesus is going to dismount from the donkey, and he's going to mount the white horse on which we see him in the book of Revelation 19, verse 11 to 16, going forth conquering and to conquer. One day he is going to take his power and reign. One day he is going to rule the nations with an iron scepter and shatter them like pottery with authority from his Father. But not yet. For still today, before the day of judgment comes, he is still the God on a donkey, God on a cross, who refuses to trample on our resistance and who refuses to trample on our integrity, even those who reject him. It is a fantastic vision of deliberate divine weakness. Well, let me draw this to a close. Mark presents Jesus Christ, Savior of the world, as the one in whom the gospel paradox has come to its most perfect expression of power through weakness, glory through suffering, and life through death. That is the way of Jesus, and I hope that theme may stay with us through Holy Week as we move day by day through Good Friday and Easter Day, that we will see the paradox exemplified with the eyes of our imagination. This Palm Sunday, as we lift our voices in hosannas, let us throw open the doors of our hearts, inviting Jesus to make his home with us and in turn find our place in his loving presence. Let us give of ourselves wholly to him, echoing our joy and celebration through songs that honor the grandeur of our Heavenly Father as revealed in his Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. In the midst of our celebration, let us also pause and reflect on the profound connection between today and the solemnity of Good Friday, a day marking our Savior's ultimate sacrifice. And yet, this poignant journey doesn't end in sorrow, for Easter Sunday dawns with the breathtaking truth of Jesus' resurrection, ushering in a timeless renewal of life for all God's people. May the peace of God weave through the fabric of your lives, bringing joy that transcends the trials we face. In embracing this journey, from today's jubilation to the reflective gratitude of Easter, may we discover the deep, enduring joy that is found in serving our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, as we have reflected on the humble kingship of Jesus, help us to embrace his example in our lives. Teach us the strength found in humility, the power in service, and the victory in surrender. May our hearts be fertile ground for your love to grow, leading us to live in a way that reflects your kingdom as we anticipate the celebration of Easter. Renew in us the hope and joy of resurrection life. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Our next hymn, Crown Him with Many Crowns, it's hymn number 459.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Let us dedicate the offering and let us intercede. Gracious and eternal God, as we bring our offerings to you this Palm Sunday, we do so with hearts lifted in gratitude and humility. We dedicate these gifts to the work of your kingdom here in Newport on Tay Church of Scotland and in the wider community we are part of. Bless these offerings that they may be a source of hope, of love, and of transformation. On this day of reflection and celebration, we lift our prayers of intercession to you, knowing that you hear the deepest cries of our hearts. We pray for our church here in Newport on Tay and for other churches in the community. We think of the coming week and the services we'll be doing together. Strengthen our unity and deepen our fellowship. May the services we share be a testament to your inclusive love and a beacon of light in our communities. We bring before you all who are unwell, especially remembering Kate Middleton in her battle with cancer. Surround her and all who suffer with your comforting presence and grant them healing and peace. May your spirit of restoration touch everyone in need, offering hope amidst trials. In a world torn by conflict and war, we pray for peace in the Middle East, Ukraine, Anglophone Cameroon, and other troubled lands. Inspire leaders and communities to seek reconciliation and justice, laying down arms in favor of dialogue and understanding. May your kingdom of peace prevail over the discord of our world. During this time of Lent, Passion, and Easter celebration, we ask for a renewal of faith within your church. May this season draw us closer to the heart of your gospel, igniting a passion for service and a deeper understanding of the humility and sacrifice of Christ. Dear Father, comfort all who mourn. Provide them solace in their grief and remind them of the hope we have in the resurrection. May the promise of eternal life bring peace to troubled hearts. We pray for ourselves, that we might embody the lessons of this Holy Week. Teach us to walk in the footsteps of Christ, embracing humility and strength in service to others. Renew our spirits and prepare our hearts for the joy of Easter. We offer these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our humble King and Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit forever and ever. Amen. Our final hymn, and Can It Be That I Should Gain, 396.
Thank you.
in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.